To me, it's like it can be testing out of new techniques, trying out procedures in making a film that I haven't used before. So to me, it's an experiment, but also sort of just the attitude towards filmmaking that it doesn't have to be any one thing, and it doesn't have to fit into a preconceived notion of, okay, this is a documentary film, this is a narrative film. It's that, I guess, you know, a lot of people throw the term experimental around. It kind of encompasses anything and so many things that it's just easy to grab onto that word.
How did you become interested in such an attempt in such a way to explore the movie scene? I guess a lot of people want to be a movie maker and want to become rich and famous, but to do experimental stuff means
not so much about the money. Experimental film, no, for me it's really just bringing my own personal approach to filmmaking, and, you know, exploring how I see the world and trying to convey that through the films that I make.
I think this is very much in line in what Werknerz is doing. Anyhow, I mean, we are not kind of here for commercial filmmaking and the big movies, but we are interested in filmmakers who have their own handwriting, we always say, eine Handschrift, yeah. Their own way of seeing the world, their own positioning, political positioning, personal positioning. And so experimental, because a lot of, I think for the audience, experimental always is something, a word which is, I don't
kind
know.
Of weird.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect. And maybe it's
Am
boring.
I going to like it, or?
Exactly. I mean, of course, an experiment always can be a failure, but our job as curators is, of course, to pick up the successes. And usually the things we show are the ones, kind of the best of what we find at the festivals. And so you don't have to be afraid that much, because I think you always can explore something which you will like. And in case of the Karas, well, I just have seen the Daily Mode, the documentary, which it stretches the definition of documentary because it uses parts which are invented by her, or how do you call it, stage parts, and different kinds, animation, I mean, found footage, which is kind of archive material and so on. But it's a really exciting mix, which brings you the life of someone I never heard about before. She was working for the BBC, if I remember.
Yeah. The BBC had a department called the Radiophonic Workshop, and they were in charge of creating all the music and sound effects for BBC radio and television shows in the 1960s. So she was an employee there, and that's where she did most of her work.
Now you dropped the BBC name, and it's just a question. I don't know. How long are you, or have you been in Germany right now?
I have been here for 6 weeks.
For 6 weeks?
Yeah.
So you got some impressions. if now back to the BBC, I think the BBC is a good example. There is, what I know, there is a possibility to experiment, to do something new things. And what do you think about the German media scene, about the big medias like BBC? We do have this official public
equivalent BBC here. I
have you
had
heard
that much exposure to it, to be honest. So how do you think that it compares?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that. But I did not want to influence you. And that was the question for me. How do you come here to Germany? How you feel the scene? Is this, if it's comparable to Canada or whatever? Could you just a little?
In terms of like the big German broadcasters? or
yeah, or in general.
In general.
You are here at a, it's not a festival, it's a small institution,
yes.
I would say. Is it okay to say to call Berglight small institution?
Definitely.
My first impression of the Berglight Center is I had the impression that I was at home, basically, because we have very similar institutions in Canada that are, you know, there to support artists and very much about bringing in a community of people and offering these offering exposure to other artists and workshops, and it's very supportive and that sort of thing.
And
great.
Scene in Great Britain, is it a different scene? I'm just wondering whether the public, the big public medias, should more support experimental or new stuff, and then maybe the attitude of the people would change a little bit. That's my background. I'm thinking about.
Yeah, I'm sure they probably have equivalent institutions or like co-ops where filmmakers can do their thing, but the big sort of governing bodies like the BBC, they seem a little bit impenetrable, like to independent artists. I'm not sure how easy it is to infiltrate into those and get your work seen on BBC. I'm not sure.
I think they have a circle of people and of artists and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe. But we don't have to talk about the BBC. Let's talk about your work. We will see tonight some movies and videos made by you.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a favorite one you want to talk about?
Favorite one. Well, I guess the Delian Mode is really the film that's like occupying my thoughts these days. And it's been playing at a lot of festivals, so I've been thinking about and talking about that film a lot. But I think it's, I'm pretty proud of that piece in terms of kind of incorporating a lot of the techniques that I've learned about filmmaking over the years. But also, it was sort of my first documentary in terms of, trying to tell this real factual story about somebody. So I think
it's... How did you actually come across what's her name? Delia Levenshire. No, that's her name.
Delia Derbyshire.
Sorry.
So a friend played me some of her material. It was she did these pieces in the 1960s that were based upon interviews of people talking about their dreams. And then what Delia did was create these soundscapes to go alongside the interview material. And these pieces really like captured my imagination immediately. I started thinking of visuals I could go with the audio, and then I looked her up online and I realized that she was the one behind the Doctor Who theme music, which really affected me a lot as a child. Totally scared me.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I read about her, the more she seemed like an interesting character, and I thought, I think she could make a good film. Like her, really, she's a really interesting character, and also a pioneer in her field.
She was active in the
1960s, mostly. Yeah,
yeah.
What did she do? Electronic music, or how would you describe?
She was using very basic electronic equipment that would produce sine tones or just any kind of sound, and she would record anything basically that would make a sound, and then she would manipulate it. Once it was on magnetic tape, she would manipulate it, slow it down, speed it up. So she was really doing what musicians do today on computer very easily. She was doing this all with analog equipment, which is just really remarkable.
Yeah, that's quite fascinating. There are some or a few artists who did the same thing like artists do today, but they did not have computers.
Mm-hmm.
They did it by cutting tapes or something like this. You mentioned that Delia Derbyshire composed or did the Doctor Who theme. Maybe.
Well, actually, that piece was composed by someone named Ron Grainer, but he came to the BBC Radiophonic Workshop and he ask Delia to kind of realize his composition. So he just had some marks on a piece of musical score paper, and she was the one who really like brought to this piece all the amazing sounds that you hear. It was like her creation, really.
Yeah.
So. Maybe we should mention before, because Doctor Who is not very well known in Germany.
Yeah.
It is the English-speaking cult serial. I think it's running for 40, 50 years
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's still on.
Still on. I know it because my partner, so my grandson. Ich weiß nicht. Okay. Auf jeden Fall.
One of your relatives.
he is from Britain, and he's 8 years old, and he loves Doctor Who, and he every week he has to watch it, and he plays with the figures and so on. I never heard about it before, but it's in UK.
It has
a lot of
fans.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
And so what's it about, the serial?
It's
about
a science fiction serial.
Okay, then it makes sense to do this experimental theme. It's really funny. As I heard the theme, I know it.
Yeah.
I don't know the serial, but I know this the theme. It's quite funny to me.
I've actually never successfully watched an episode of the show because I'm kind of not interested in the show. But the music really. When I was a kid, I just couldn't get past the theme music because I was, what is this scary show? And I was very frightened. And apparently that it had the same effect on many people growing up at that time.
Yeah. Maybe you could just very short explain how Delia Derbyshire did this theme. Because to me, or maybe to many people outside, it sounds like a normal computer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What did she
There was no computer.
There were
time.
No computers at this time.
How did she come to this?
Yeah, what's really
result?
Incredible is that every note that you're hearing was recorded individually on magnetic tape.
Yeah.
So, and then she would record just kind of sounds from like tone generators and equipment, and she would record these sounds and then she would manipulate it by slowing it down. But then she had to splice every single sound together.
Yeah. Are there some documents, I think visual documents of her kind of working?
Yes, in the film?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few, we get to see a little bit of how she puts this all together.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting.
Yeah, she's really like a modern day beat matching virtuoso. There's actually a clip on YouTube of her also, and in the film where she's matching up, she has a series of reel to reel players and she turns them on one at a time and they're perfectly in sync. And it's really like
it's a complete
skill.
Performance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a one movie of or a documentary of tonight's show. Could you talk about your music video work?
Sure. Well, mostly I work with, I'm from Montreal, and there's a great music scene there. So I've mostly been working with Montreal musicians and bands. And it's just a great way. I really enjoy the format of music videos. It's short and you can, again, do something experimental or try out something new that's just a 3 or 4 minute piece. And I'm really drawn to the idea of having the visuals inspired by a piece of music. So,
How do you find your artist?
So far, most of the people I've worked with are friends in Montreal. There's so many musicians there that.
So you're kind of into the scene, or you're crowding around together, go to parties, and
it's a good symbiotic relationship because they like to have a video to support their music, and I like to make videos. So it's
In my opinion, as the music video starts to become popular in the early 80s or late 70s, it was really much experimental stuff around, even in commercial videos. If I have a look right now to MTV today, I'm getting so bored.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very conservative. How do you feel this development or,
yeah,
or the
music. I think the mainstream music videos that you see on TV are rather boring and they've just become this sort of formula. But more and more bands, like indie bands, are the main platform for their music videos is on the internet. And there's some really great videos that you might not see on MTV or something like that. But if you go to a band's personal website, you find these little treasures of videos that are still really creative and maybe not as big budget anymore, yeah, because I don't think there is that sort of commercial platform for music videos as there was maybe in the 80s, 90s, but they're still being made. They're still like a good promotional tool for, yeah, for bands to
have. Does this mean that you have a lot to do?
A lot to do.
A lot of work.
Yeah, there's, and unfortunately, it does, there's not a lot of money in music videos, yeah, these days, so yeah, you have to do a lot to make it add up to some kind of proper payment, but...
You said it before, you are really touched by the idea to get inspired by the sound.
Mm-hmm.
Is there also a way of... closer collaboration that maybe the musicians come to you and say, oh, I got this idea,
yeah,
but I don't know how to do it in real.
One band that I've made three videos for now who are friends in Montreal, and they often, yeah, they have this obsession with spies for some reason. And so the last video we did together, they really wanted to do something that would utilize this idea about spies that kind of shapes their whole album. It's kind of based around this imagined story about two spies. So we did something about these imaginary spies for a video.